Coming to you live from my in-laws' house, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who wants to know, why did the Bloomin' Onion get the purple edit last night? I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Rob's Podcast. Here I am on the road still. One last podcast here in New York as I then will head back to the studio on Friday to get to everything that is coming after that. But we had such a fun show at the Know-It-Alls on Wednesday night. If you missed that show, of course, you could listen to the podcast where we had a really great chat with Suri and with Jessica Lewis live in front of over 500 people at the Lincoln Square AMC 13. A very fun night. And I had so much fun at the after party getting to place faces with all of the different names of people that like, oh, I'm this person from Twitter. Always really fun. And of course, a lot of familiar faces from, you know, I think this is like the 9th or 10th Know-It-Alls show that we've done between the different cities. So really great to get out there and meet everybody once again. So that was last night, but today we have a fantastic show. Andrea Belke, host of the People Fan Forum, is going to be joining us on the podcast today. So looking forward to chatting with her on the podcast. Of course, voicemails coming up this weekend. Antonio Mazzaro is going to be my guest on that show. Get your voicemail questions in, and we're going to record that on Saturday, so you still have a little bit of time all day Friday to get your questions in on that podcast. I had an exit interview with Jessica, who I thought was also very fun on the exit interview. That's up on robhasawebsite.com. Make sure you subscribe to hear all of that. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Before we get to Andrea, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Beachbody On Demand. Longtime listeners know I have been using the Beachbody On Demand all year in 2017. It is the best fitness solution for me because what it allows me to do is to do high quality, various different types of workouts between the P90X, Insanity, 21-Day Fix, 3-week yoga retreat featuring Vitas Bushkauskas. I can do it anytime I want. I am a busy, quote-unquote, professional. And so that working out was something that I wanted to get back into. Beachbody On Demand allows me to do it around my schedule. I'll be honest, in terms of, I don't get to it every day. I do the best that I can. The good thing is that there are so few obstacles that stop me from procrastinating doing exercise. You don't need a ton of stuff. You have some dumbbells, resistance bands. I could do it on the road while I'm traveling. Beachbody On Demand has a perfect system for you, waiting for you to check out on a number of different internet-enabled devices, whether it's computers, tablets, phones, so many different ways, Apple TV, Roku, all these different ways that you can watch these workouts when they're convenient for you. Over 600 different workouts are there. I've been doing P90X3, which I really recommend because that all of the workouts in P90X3 are 30 minutes. So that is fantastic for me. So check out Beachbody On Demand, a brand new service, but over 1 million members. Our listeners can try it for free, a free trial membership to Beachbody On Demand. All you have to do is text the word Rob, R-O-B, to the number 303030, and get a full access to the Beachbody On Demand platform for free. Just text the word Rob, R-O-B, to the number 303030 to start trying out Beachbody On Demand. All right, I'm very excited to bring in our guest today on the podcast that she has been one of the longtime favorite guests on Rob Has a Podcast. She is a 3-time Survivor player. She is the host of the Penn Fan Forum. And also, she is a former and reigning Miss Survivor.
I guess I am, yes, since you stopped doing the contest.
I know. I think Natalie Anderson won one after you, but here she is, Andrea Belke.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Rob.
Okay, Andrea, very nice to talk to you. I know you are off one of your whirlwind Wednesdays that you have during the Survivor season.
I am running on a couple hours of sleep, but it was all worth it. because I got to stop and see you and all the Rob is a Podcast fans at Jake's Dilemma. So no complaints.
Yeah. And so you do your show in New York City. And I don't know if people realize this, that they can come out and see the Penn Fan Forum any week. And what is it? Is it a lottery? How does that work?
So, well, actually, I have to correct you because People did a rebrand and it's now People TV.
People TV Fan Forum. I apologize.
No, it's all good. It's confusing because a lot of people remember Penn Fan Forum. So I even have to remind myself, but it's now People TV's Fan Forum Survivor.
People TV Fan Forum Survivor.
Yes, because now it's a whole rebrand. But
people just say it's the Andrea Show.
Oh, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
But basically, the sign-up is not very formal. I will randomly tweet out a link to sign up to 3 episodes. And honestly, I don't know. We don't really have a correct format for this. But I will just tweet out something and say, hey, guys, like, here's the link for the next 3 episodes. So you just got to be on your toes. Like, you don't know when that's going to come out. But basically, I don't run the audience part. So that's why if anyone gets upset with me, it's not my fault.
It's not Andrea's fault. Don't blame Andrea.
Yeah. So this girl runs it. And I think she really tries to make sure that new people that sign up get to come. And because we do have regulars and love them so much. But, you know, we want to have like the people that want to see it for the first time to get in. So she kind of runs that all. But I always have a link. There's a link on maybe like 5 tweets back on my Twitter. So you can always find it somewhere.
Okay. So follow Andrea Belke on Twitter if you want tickets to the People TV Fan Forum : Survivor.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. All right. So be on the lookout for that. And then how do you watch it after the fact?
So you can watch it on People TV. They have an app. So you could download the app and then just look for Fan Forum Survivor. Or like I retweet the Periscope. It's kind of streaming everywhere. There's so many places to watch it. Like, it's on Facebook. It's on People TV's Facebook. It's on Entertainment Weekly's Facebook. It's on Periscope. So I'll retweet the Periscope link. You can also watch it on the People TV website and app. So there's a lot of opportunities if you just look.
And Andrea, I did watch the episode from last night. Great panel.
You did?
As usual. Yeah, I did.
You are insane. How would you find time to do that?
I had time today. And so I watched it. It's, you know, I always loved Dalton Ross on the panel. You had Jervis, Josh Martinez, the winner of Big Brother. But then my favorite, Papa Bear, was on the panel. And that was a great get. Papa Bear should be there every week. I loved Papa Bear. Andrea, let me talk to you. The idol clue. It sparkled. It was a sparkling idol clue.
Okay, I think he was confused that was just the editing.
Yeah.
That the editor
Yeah, you
did.
Were like, that Papa Bear, that was, they put that in editing, but that was, it didn't actually, I saw it, Andrea. It was real. It was happening. It was growing.
I think I crushed his dreams and hopes and everything when I said that, because he thought it was actually glowing. He's like, how did they do that?
Yeah, he was impressed. Okay.
No, Papa Bear was great. He, when I contacted him, because I forgot that he lived in New York. So when I contacted him, he was like, oh, should I bring, I can't do it, the impression like you can, Rob.
Well, what should I bring? Should I bring a cake? Do you need anything?
That's exactly what he said. He said a cheesecake. He's like, should I bring a cheesecake?
Bring cheesecake.
And
I know a place.
Like, you do not have to bring a cheesecake. I mean, you can, but you do not have to.
It was great. It was great. But, you know, I feel like that, you know, you do such a great job, like, talking to the panel, that I feel like that we don't always get a chance to do a deep dive into what you're thinking on the given season. So I'm really excited to be able to talk with you about all this stuff.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's a really exciting to cover a show and, you know, watch the episode, do a whole panel breakdown, and not actually be on the season, because that was so stressful last season.
Well, how hard was that?
A lot of fun.
How hard was that last season in terms of being somebody who, because like the show would happen and then you were there and then you have to talk to people and ask them what they think, and they might be saying something that, you know, is like, listen, that's not how it happened. I was there. But you just have to be like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
It was so hard. I was basically breaking out in hives the whole time because I couldn't give out any information And I also had the anxiety of being on the season and not knowing what they were going to show until we got to watch the screener only a couple hours before. So it was so stressful. And it was really hard to host a panel because I couldn't really talk badly about anyone, or I couldn't give away that I really liked somebody. I had to be so neutral. So I didn't, it wasn't the best. I mean, it worked out, but it's so much better that I can actually comment on certain players and not be afraid of giving away anything.
Yeah, but you did a really good job. And because that, I, to my knowledge, I don't think you managed to piss anybody off hosting the show. And
yeah, I don't know why CBS even let me do that in the first place, but they must have trusted me and I didn't spoil
anything. They trusted
anything.
You. They knew you would do a good job with it. And so you managed to get through the season unscathed and not make anybody mad at you. So that was good.
Yeah, it all worked out.
Yeah, I wish I could say the same. I ended up with a bunch of people mad at me, and I wasn't even on the season.
Wait, what did you do?
No, people are very sensitive, Andrea. You do a great job, and you have enough charisma to be able to, you know, talk about people and not have them get mad at you. But people get very testy with me, Andrea.
Oh, you mean when you're talking about certain players?
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't really dislike anyone ever. So even the people that most people find annoying or aggravating, I think, like, I enjoy those people. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I don't even say that I dislike anybody, but people get very prickly if I say they made the wrong decision. They don't like that. Okay. Well, let's talk about some of the decisions that were made last night. And of course, we had the big Survivor merge. You yourself have been to three of these Survivor merges. Did you always enjoy the merge on Survivor, Andrea?
Oh, well, the merge is so great because it's just such a... making the merge, it just feels like, okay, wow, even if I don't win this game, I at least made the merge. Mm-hmm. Just a really good checkpoint. And then, of course, not to mention, you get to eat a lot of food. On my last merge, I got so wasted.
Yes.
It was, like, unbelievable. And they didn't really show that, but, like, Zeke and I got real, real trash.
Well, that's the famous Troyzan. Click, 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 click.
Yeah. I mean, now I think I've told most people this, but when I fell on that rock and slipped, it wasn't because the rock was slippery. I was just real drunk.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember most of that. But, the merge is a lot of fun, but it's also really, really stressful because you're trying to be pleasant and meet all these new people, but really you're like, okay, what's the plan? Mm-hmm. Because all of a sudden, like, there's all these people coming together and you have to act like you're really calm, but really you're freaking out on the inside.
Yeah. And that there, I was thinking about your seasons and your merges, and I think that maybe the craziest of the three merges that you were in might have been the Redemption Island merge, because that had the added element where Matt Elrod, aka Wyatt Nash, ended up coming back into the game, which was a very complicated situation for you because, much like the Jessica and Cole thing, people thought at early on in the game you guys were a power couple, and then he came back into the game, and then that was an added wrinkle for you, especially then when he started telling Boston Rob about all of the plans.
Yeah, I mean, do you really want to ruin this podcast by bringing up Redemption Island? That's the question.
It was real. It happened. That was the best part of Redemption Island. I think that was the best episode.
Yeah, it was a really good episode. When I watched the Jessica Cole stuff, it reminded me so much of me and Matt on Redemption Island. And I mean, I look back at Redemption Island and it's so cringeworthy. It's so bad.
What was bad that you with Matt Elrod?
Well, no, Matt Elrod is gorgeous. Like, who wouldn't like him?
Should I call him Matt Elrod or Wyatt Nash?
No, Wyatt Nash.
Okay.
You gotta call him Wyatt Nash now. But I think more so that I was so scared to go against Boston Rob, and then also just I was 21.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? I was a little baby. Just the way I sounded, everything. I don't know. But that moment, you're right, was really crazy because Matt came back in the game and we talked about flipping on Boston Rob, and I was like 50-50. Like, I was kind of like, okay, I'm going to consider this. Let's keep talking. And then he ratted out the entire plan. And then it was like, well, now what do I do with him now? We got to get rid of him. But I definitely see similarities between Matt Elrod and Cole for sure, because they don't know the game. Mm-hmm. I don't think Cole was really a super fan. Matt Elrod definitely was not a super fan at all. So they both aren't really sure what to do in those circumstances, so they just run their mouth.
Yeah. So did you identify with Jessica as a player at all?
I guess if I look back to my first season, totally, because you have a crush on this guy, but you know, it's also a really strong alliance for sure. And you want to work with this person, and then maybe they give up too much information and you want to give them another shot, but you're just not sure what to do. Cause how do you get rid of or betray the person that trusts you probably the most? Mm-hmm. So I definitely related to Jessica, and I could see how she was like, how would she get rid of Cole at that point? Because yeah. he really, really, they had a strong, one of the probably strongest bonds on the season.
Yeah.
So I definitely related to that, but I don't know. I mean, after playing a few seasons, like, I mean, just showmances are just such a bad idea. So bad. It's tragic.
Yeah. Well, in talking with her this morning, I got the sense that she really did not like the perception that people feel like that she gave her game away for Cole. I think that she sort of like rejects that as the idea. You know, she only got to go to one tribal council, that she didn't really get to test that bond in another situation. You yourself then, you ultimately did turn against Wyatt Nash when you got to that merge. You know, do you feel like that she would have had the, is she been able to go to a few more votes with Cole, that she would have ultimately turned on him?
Oh, it's so hard to say. I mean, I'm sure that she says she would have, right?
She did say that, yes.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I can't say what Jessica would or wouldn't have done, but maybe. I think I actually really like Jessica, and I was bummed that she went because I felt like she really didn't do that much wrong in the game, except maybe get into a showmance, but I felt like her game was cut short, and I think there is a possibility, now that I think about it, that she would have turned against Cole, because she seems very smart.
Mm-hmm.
I just think she found herself in that predicament. I mean, I don't know. I felt so bad for her, especially like her goodbye and saying that she hopes she gets a date with Cole. I was like, oh, I feel like she was just feeding into what the producers wanted, you know?
Yeah, yep, yep. That it's, you know, I think it's always weird when you have these showmances that like don't last after the show also, and then to talk about it after the fact, like that is difficult.
Well, it's kind of like friendships too, though, is yeah, showmance, because there's like a romance level and it's like whatever, but even with friendships, you think that this person is your best friend and you talk about them being your best friend, just like a showmance, you're actually kind of convincing yourself you kind of like this person because you're spending all this time with them. And the bonds out on Survivor are just so immediate and strong that it feels real. And then once the show ends, you realize that that was just a relationship that lasted out on the island. And it's, you guys really don't have that much in common. Mm-hmm. And maybe you don't even get along outside of the game. I mean, I kind of, when you know, do I still hang out with Eddie at his dog bar? Absolutely not. Do I talk to Wyatt Nash? Not really. Like they were just like, oh, in the game, I was kind of obsessed with them. But then the game ends and you're like, oh, that was kind of just a moment. That's just what it was.
Yeah. So one of the other things that came up in my exit interview with Jessica today, she talked about her relationship with Chrissy and meeting her for the first time in the game at the merge. And she said that she felt like Chrissy was somebody that gave off the impression, to her at least, that she did not want to work with the other women in the game. And Jessica said that she would have liked to have worked with Chrissy, but she just really got the vibe that that's not something that Chrissy was looking for in terms of partnering up with the other women, and that she might have even been threatened by other women in the game. One of the reasons why she targeted Rourke and Allie as well in the game. Now, I feel like that's something that you were once upon a time branded with, I think, in the Cara Moen season, although then you mostly worked with the women when you came back in Game Changers. Is that a thing in terms of how, you know, especially among women in terms of getting a vibe whether or not they want to work with the other women in the game?
That is so interesting. I guess now that you point that out, I didn't realize Chrissy maybe has a thing against she might, I'm
again,
not sure.
According to Jessica,
yes. I hadn't thought about that, but that's very interesting. I've just changed a lot as a person, but I definitely know that when I started Redemption Island, I was very much feeling like, oh, I'm a farm girl. Like I'm more of a guy than a girl. Like I'm kind of a tomboy, and was almost playing into that, like what the producers wanted me to be. So they were like, you're a tomboy, right? And you're like, yeah, I am. And I think I thought I got along with guys better. So maybe I didn't. And I also just didn't get along with Natalie and Ashley out there. And then people did say that in Cara Moen as well. But then I think over the last few years, I've become more of a girl's girl. instead of a guy's girl. So now, especially in Game Changers, I've really only wanted to work with women.
Yeah.
So I had like a complete change of heart. And I don't know if that is just me growing up and just, I don't know. Not that I was anti-women ever, but I definitely had a big change from my first two seasons and then in Game Changers. And I think it's kind of, for me, I bond better with women, usually emotionally anyway. So that's why it was easy to work with women on Game Changers. But now I'm curious to watch how the rest of the season plays out with Chrissy and if she will work with any women out there.
Yeah, well, I think that where we might end up seeing a divide is with this hero and hustler group that's being built. Now, you have Lauren in there, and Ben is sort of the swing person in between. He's tight with Chrissy, and now he appears to be at least close with Lauren, and to see if that's going to be a functioning relationship. And then Ashley and Chrissy were together on the original Heroes tribe, but they did not seem especially close. And are they going to be able to function together? And again, I don't want to paint this as 100% fact that this is some sort of an issue that Chrissy is having in the game where she can't work well with the other women.
Yeah. I mean, this is, Rob, where you're probably going to get backlash because now Chrissy is going to be really upset with you saying that.
Look, it's always very difficult to discuss gender, but I feel like that when I have the opportunity to do so, especially with a smart woman like yourself, and somebody who is such a veteran of the game, I like to get your insight on this stuff.
Yeah, no, it's hard to say. I'd be curious to see how it plays out. And also, there are some people that, especially women, that are intimidated by other women. And Chrissy could be one of those people. I guess we'll have to see. Just because Jessica said that, you don't know. But then it makes me curious to know what Chrissy's like in real life. And does she have a lot of female friends, or does she more have male friends? So it'd be something definitely to pay attention to, huh?
Yeah, I think it'll be an interesting thing to watch. I'm sure if we talk to Chrissy, she would say, hey, I don't have a problem with any women as a group. It was these particular women that I wanted to target. And maybe it was because they were so smart. These men seem like a bunch of idiots.
Well, that's kind of how I felt on Kara Moen for the most part. Like I was intimidated by Corinne for sure because she's really smart. And so why would I go after someone like Eddie or Reynolds or any of them when you have someone like Corinne? So I think that maybe, I don't know if it's necessarily that she doesn't want to work with women. She might actually realize that these women out there are kind of smarter than the guys, mm-hmm. You know, why wouldn't you take out Allie instead of JP?
Yeah. Okay. I want to talk about the vote last night where ultimately Jessica was the one to go home. But it was a pretty crazy tribal council where we saw Joe not just take out the idol. He also ended up playing it on himself, which was, you know, a very aggressive play, which we've come to see from Joe on this season. What did you think about the way that Joe handled everything last night?
That was so weird because he pulls out the idol. Now, if you think that everyone's going to be voting for you and you pull out the idol, would everyone else have a bigger reaction and maybe whisper and say, okay, let's keep the plan the same or something,
mm-hmm.
You know, because no one whispered or did anything. Some people looked shocked, but there wasn't any sort of scurrying around, figuring out if they should change the plan or not.
Wow. That's really interesting, Andrea, that I don't think I've ever heard that articulated that way. So you're saying that for a Survivor player, if the plan really was to vote out Joe, that there would be a bigger reaction from the other players?
Yes, because someone's going to be like, wait, we're all going to be voting for Joe. He just pulled out the idol. Are we still voting for Joe, or are we going to change it? Like, there has to be a reaction there.
Yeah.
So if Joe thinks everyone's voting for him and he pulls out the idol, they have to have either a change of plan or they have to say, no, we're all staying the same because he's not going to play it. Like, there was no other conversation there. At least we didn't see in the edit or any whispering. So I thought for sure Joe would maybe notice that and then not play it. So I was really shocked that he played it.
Yeah. Andrea.
You know what I mean, right?
Yeah. I mean, I 100% understand what you're saying. I think this is like the kind of insight that we get from somebody with 100 days of Survivor in the immunity idol era.
Well, I don't have the best luck with idols, but
yeah, but you have been there for some crazy idol plays in your day, specifically the Philip Three Amigos Tribal Council, where you know all those guys are pulling out idols. So there's a lot of insight to be gained from that move. Now, at the risk of angering Joe, do you call into question more whether he was able to correctly read Ashley's face earlier this season after he misread the room at this tribal council?
Oh, yeah. I think Joe was going to always play that for himself.
Yeah.
Don't you?
I don't know. I believed in the first time around, but now this is twice in a row that he played the idol on himself.
I don't think Joe will ever play the idol for someone other than himself.
Yeah. Although, Andrea, let me just say that I've said for years, I think I would always, if push came to shove, I would risk playing the idol on myself and be wrong. And you're somebody that you've gone home in the game with an idol in your pocket. And I know that that's something that certainly at one point in time was annoying to think about. That don't you think that, I mean, if there is doubt, is the right move just play the idol on yourself like Joe did?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, if I ever played again and found an idol, I would probably play it immediately at that point, because going home with an idol is the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Because all you had to do is play it. So I think, yeah, Joe, in that case, when he probably really thought he was going to get votes and he played it, that's better than if he wouldn't have played it and went home, obviously.
Yeah. And even if there's like a 20% chance, at least, you know, he has a 100% chance to go three more days.
Yeah. Dude, who did they think that? So that whole alliance thought that Joe was going to get the votes on him. Okay.
Yeah. I think that Cole said that there's only been two names that are thrown about tonight, Cole or Joe. And now Joe has an idol and he's safe if he wants to be. So Cole, I think, was sort of just like hoping that Ben and Lauren were going to vote with them.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So ultimately, now Joe comes into this next round of play unprotected, and he's definitely on Chrissy's radar. And I think that he's going to be somebody who's a really big target now moving forward.
Yeah, no, he really needs to either find the idol or shake stuff up. He's my draft pick. I'm in a Survivor draft.
Yes.
So as much as like Joe's not my favorite character, I am rooting for him.
How did you end up with him?
I think I felt like I got the Tony vibes from him. And we picked the players based off interviews, not off of the first episode or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt good about him. And then the first episode happened and then I did not feel good about him. But he's very entertaining.
Andrea, were you willing to play with Tony last season, somebody who was an unstable element like that? Or would you have been one of the early voices to send Tony out if you were on his tribe?
Well, when I did Dalton Ross's little game where you voted someone out, Tony was the first the person that I put down. So I would have not trusted Tony at all.
Mm-hmm. Why was that? He's too much of a wild card?
He's too much of a wild card. And also, I think Tony's smart enough to know that I know the game, and I think he would never let me get far with him.
Mm-hmm.
So you can never trust Tony, but Tony is one of my favorite characters of all time.
Yes, he is fantastic. And Joe has been, you know, fantastic in his own way this season.
Yeah, because I really like Joe too, because he's so arrogant. And it's hilarious. But he also screws up. And then you see that moment on his face where he realizes he's not as smart as he sometimes thinks he is. So I really am enjoying him.
So do you think that we're going to see the healers keep getting picked off now for these next couple of votes before now that then we'll have some sort of a, you know, the hero and hustler alliance breaking into?
It'll be interesting because the last couple seasons have not been that way.
Mm-hmm.
Every tribal council seemed like it was a new slate, especially Game Changers. I mean, people just jumped back and forth from alliances. So, and especially in Millennials and versus Gen X too. But I don't know, because of these stronger, because you have the heroes and hustlers together, it almost feels like a more concrete thing, like against the healers. So I think it might take somebody in the heroes and hustlers to really like be like, we're not, it might have to be like almost a Boston Rob thing for them to pick them off.
Yeah.
Is to say like the healers got to go, it's got to be a healer. We're not talking to the healers. Like that would be the way to go about it, if you want to make sure there's not that mingling.
Hey, Andrea, remember what I taught you. Remember the buddy system. Hold on to everybody's hand. It's heroes and hustlers.
It's very effective.
Yeah. I actually think that we might be headed to a boring week or two of the show. And, you know, I hate to predict something like that because I hope to be wrong like I normally am, because Jessica was my winner pick for the season. So you know how I do with my predictions, Andrea.
But yeah, have you ever won?
I did. I picked Denise Stapley in nice. Survivor Philippines. And so nice. I thought that maybe this would be the 10 season anniversary of that and I would be right again, but no such luck. Yeah. Oh, for the last 10 in a row. But that being said, Andrea, that I think that there we're going to see a couple of more healers go, whether it's Cole, whether it's Joe. But then I think things will shift, because I think that the players are always thinking like one or two votes ahead. And I think that when we get down to the point of hypothetically, if Cole and Joe are the next two people to go, and it's just Desi and Dr. Mike that are left, I feel like it's the kind of time in the game where people are going to say, well, are they really the biggest threats out here? Shouldn't we be gunning for a Chrissy, or shouldn't we be gunning for a Devin? Or they'll like start to look at the other people who are the bigger threats, and then it'll end up being some sort of a fracture. In terms of there being a bigger group this season, is that how you see it?
I think so. I definitely feel like a couple healers will go, but who knows? I mean, we saw, what did we see? It was Cole and Chrissy scrambling for the idol. I don't know. I know that Jeff says the season gets really good later on. So I'm holding out hope that later on is now.
Yeah, later. So you feel like it is now the later on, or you think that later on is later on?
I think later on might be later on. But I think, yeah, so probably a healer or two. I think Dr. Mike might be totally fine because yeah. He has a really good relationship with Ben and Lauren. So they'll probably pull him back in. He can kind of go over there, and then it'll be either, yeah, Joe, Cole, or Desi. They're not looking too good.
Yeah. Do you think that the healers did a bad job last night of sort of like circling the wagons, in terms of that they ended up with Desi won immunity, and then Dr. Mike had an idol, Joe had an idol, and this was the kind of thing where even like last season, like it felt like that like towards the end, like there were so many advantages on like a small group, like if everybody just got on the same page in terms of like, hey, what do you have, like an alliance can work better together strategically to potentially block a vote.
Yeah, I would love to see the scene where they all sat around and decided, okay, do we think they're voting for Joe? Okay, Joe has an idol. Because at that point, I don't even know who knew that Joe had that idol from the healers, if mm-hmm. they all knew or not. But then Dr. Mike, as far as we know, only
I don't
Jessica.
Think anybody knew he had the second idol. They all knew he had the first idol from earlier this season, but I don't think anybody knew he had the idol that he took out.
Oh, Joe, yeah. So, no, but you don't think anyone on the healers in his new is in his alliance post-merge knew that he had the idol? You don't think he told anybody?
Maybe he did, but I don't know that we didn't see it if he did.
Yeah, so I'd be curious to know if there was a conversation like, hey guys, this is our new group, so I'm going to play this idol because I think they're voting for me. Mm-hmm. And then I don't think anyone, but Jessica knows that Dr. Mike is the idol, but I don't know if anyone else knew that, because I don't know if we never saw if they told Cole about that idol or not.
Yeah.
So I feel like they probably could have got together and realized we have two idols here. Let's try to figure out who they're actually voting for and play these idols accordingly. But it doesn't seem like they did that.
Do you think it was a bad idea for Desi to win immunity last night?
Well, it's so hard to say, because when you play immunity, especially the first one, like you kind of want to just be safe. And Desi probably didn't even know. Like she probably didn't go in thinking like, oh, I'm definitely... I have no idea, but she probably, as soon as she got halfway through, realized like, oh, I could possibly win this. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it's just such a struggle to lose on purpose.
Yes.
So I think that's trouble, because I won the first individual challenge in Game Changers. And I mean, people already knew I was pretty good at challenges, but then once you win that first challenge, it's always a really good excuse to get you out. So yeah, exactly. If Desi would have went out maybe like first or second, if she would have purposely lost that challenge, And then this next vote, I mean, she wouldn't really be on people's radar as much as she probably is now. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't win this next challenge and they're trying to get rid of a healer. She's a perfect person to get out. I feel like she'd be a great person to get out because people think she's really strong.
I think nobody was talking about Desi before, and maybe they're still not talking about Desi now, but if she didn't win that immunity, say Ashley won that immunity, then I could totally have seen that her being the name that gets floated out. Like, boy, did you guys see how good Desi did in that challenge today? Why don't we go after her instead of Jessica?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I definitely think that now she's going to be a target for people.
Yeah.
And she's also like super ripped and strong. And we like females usually do well in those balance challenges. So people are definitely going to have her on their radar.
How many immunity challenges have you won, Andrea?
I won. Oh, my gosh. How bad. That
you don't even know. You don't even know.
Because I won that duel. So I won four individual immunity challenges. And then I won the final duel and then a couple other duels.
Okay. So you won. Okay. So, yeah.
Four individual. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think anybody counts Redemption Island duels in the records.
What? That was the final duel. It was a big deal.
All right.
Everyone counts that. That's people's favorite moment of all time.
But four challenges. And is that included rewards? Did you ever win individual reward?
I never won an individual reward, no.
Yeah.
But on Game Changers, I won every... I was on the tribe that kept winning. I was on...
Right.
I won every single reward challenge.
The group rewards.
Yeah, every single one.
Yeah.
It was, like, kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, and did you guys have an Outback Steak last season?
We did not. You know, I've never been to an Outback Steakhouse.
Oh,
so
Nick.
I don't get... I don't know.
You don't know what all the fuss is about.
No, I don't. I've never had a Thunder from Down Under.
Wow. Nicole was just telling me that she's like, everybody made fun of that advertising on the show last night, but Nicole was saying to me, she's like, I really want to go to Outback Steakhouse now.
See, it gets you.
Yeah, that's how they
now
get you.
Yeah, we're all thinking about Outback Steakhouse now.
Yeah.
I've never gone. Now I think I have to go.
Yeah.
So, way to go, product placement.
Yes. Was this the best merge feast ever?
Well, it's kind of weird. It was the most proper. They all ordered stuff.
Yeah.
And usually you're all just sitting around a blanket and there's all this food and you're just using your fingers and feeding each other and it's just a mess.
It's like a picnic, right?
Yeah. And here it was just so proper and it looks really good though.
Yeah. Although I thought that the table, the way that it was set up, tell me if you think there's anything to this. Like typically the merge feast is like everybody's sort of like on a blanket and it's like, oh, okay, where are you from? Okay, what do you do? And there's like everybody's like getting to know each other for the first time. But this was almost like a banquet table, like a dais that was set up. And you could talk to the person who was next to you, but you really couldn't to interact with the whole group. And I wonder if that sort of slowed down how much people were sort of talking to the people from the other side.
Yeah, and you couldn't really move around either because then it would be really obvious you're trying to talk to certain people. So I guess you're right. I didn't really like the setup that much either. Also, how long do you think they had to wait when they ordered the steaks and everything?
I don't know.
Because I would be so pissed if you went there and then you had to wait half an hour or something for the food.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they probably just had them ready to go. I don't know if they really were like grilling the orders like as specified by the survivors.
I don't know. Also, I always find it so funny when people eat salads.
Like on
Cole
Survivor.
Was like chomping. Yeah, Cole was like, oh, it's so good to get food. I ate 8,000 calories a day.
Yeah.
I can't wait to eat food. And then he's just like eating a salad. Like, okay. Well, then that's like Aubrey with her coleslaw.
Yes.
Like, she would always eat salads on the rewards. I'm like, why? I don't get it.
Yeah. Is there any strategy that you have in terms of, as somebody who's been on every single reward, do you have a strategy in terms of how you do it to not get sick?
After you play a couple times, it's pretty easy. You just,
you
make sure that, once you feel full and you know that any more food make you throw up, that's when you stop.
And
but you really
push it.
I actually got, so when we won the family reward and I got to see my mom out on Game Changers, we had this huge feast. It was great. And I took it a little too far and I felt so bad because here my mom was so happy to be there. I was like, Mom, I gotta lay down. I was just suffering. I just ate way too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this like terrible stomach ache and I was trying to have a good time with my mom, but it was just terrible.
Yeah. Now, there are the highs and lows of Survivor in terms of how much people are eating out there. We saw the highs of the Outback Steakhouse, but we also saw the lows right before that of everybody at their sort of like darkest moment in the game in terms of how little food that they have. Do you have one moment in particular that you look at as like your weakest, like lack of food moment?
Oh, lack of food moment. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. Oh, I remember one time on Game Changers, we were out of rice, like completely out of rice. And it was like a day or two, just actually nothing to eat. And I had like such a meltdown because I thought there was going to be a challenge that day. And when I found out there wasn't a challenge, I like just stormed off and was like bawling, like just like crying my eyes out into the sand, like mm-hmm. face down, just like crying. And Malcolm had to come over and like rub my back. He's like, it's going to be okay, Andrea. And it was like, I'm so hungry. Yeah, because it's a crazy feeling. Your stomach is just twisting. Yeah. Inside of you.
Now that you also were part of the Dalton Ross list that he recently put out of the 35 worst moments from the Survivors, you talked about how you had a hard time opening up a coconut, not unlike Alan Ball this season. why were you so upset about not being able to open the coconut?
Well, on Game Changers, so, okay, my first season, Redemption Island, I was making a point to be the hardest worker there and really show that I deserve to be there. So I was doing a lot of work, always
gathering
wood.
That's why Philip liked you instead of those other girls, that they were just lounging around.
No, it's true. And I just thought it was so important that I show I was a hard worker. But then after you're on a couple seasons, you realize that that doesn't really matter. And also, it kind of works against you because a reason to get someone out is like, well, they work really hard and everyone likes them. They always pitch in. So I kind of realized that on Game Changers, I didn't have to do as much. Mm-hmm. Maybe I just get lazier as I get older. But I hadn't opened up a coconut for like 16 days or whatever it was. And we were back at Tavua. And I thought, okay, I should probably open up this coconut. So I was trying to open up this coconut for the first time. And I was so embarrassed that this was the first time I was opening up a coconut on Game Changers. That's like unheard of. And this coconut, every time I would try to like chop the top off or whatever, the camera guy would just like get in my face. And I was so aware of the cameras on Game Changers on like the other two seasons where I just like needed a break. And yeah. They would get like right in my face. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't open this coconut. Now my entire tribe is looking over here. I'm really embarrassed. So this is terrible. And if you're a future Survivor player, never do this because production will hate you probably. I'm surprised they were like more upset with me. I would just stop doing anything. And then the camera guy would like leave. And yeah. Then I would go back to trying to chop the coconut. And then he would come back. And it would be this like back and forth thing. And finally, I couldn't get it open. And I just like ran out of camp like a lunatic. That was my breaking point. Like we all like on Tavua, especially because we had so much downtime and there was no drama really. Like each one of us one day would have like their day where they just had a complete spiral and needed some alone time. And this was my day. And I went running out into the jungle like a crazy person. And the camera guys came running after me because they wanted to capture this epic meltdown. And I hid in the jungle. I was like hiding in grass like a psycho. And I realized, I'm like, Andrea, this is a really bad look. Like, this is really bad. And there's this guy maybe I shouldn't name him, but one of the producers was like looking for me and I was like peeking out of the weeds. It was so bad.
You were hiding.
Like, I was hiding from the cameras because I was so embarrassed that I was having this epic meltdown over a coconut. But that's the thing. It's like you start to feel so crazy out there. Like I was really starting to feel like, cause I'd witnessed Dawn totally lose her mind.
Dawn.
she lost her mind on Karamoan. And I was starting to feel like so crazy on Game Changers. So I think I had a taste of what that's like to kind of lose your mind for a mm-hmm. second.
Yeah. Well, so there's so many interesting parts of that story. So why do you feel like on your third time it was the cameras in your face? Because I would feel like that by your third time, you'd be more used to it.
I don't know. I had a really weird time on Game Changers. As much as the edit made it look like I was having fun, and a lot of fans actually said that was their favorite season of mine.
Yeah.
But I like emotionally, it was really hard on me. I also don't know if maybe because now I am on camera every day, like that's my job, is that I was out there and then I just got so sick. I just felt like really trapped by always having the cameras like right in front of my face. I don't know. It was really weird.
Do you think it's that you feel like that when the camera is on you, you have to be on, whereas like as like sort of somebody who's coming in and not knowing anything about it, you're just like, okay, you're just like ignoring it, but you realize like, okay, I want to be like, trying to be like not, you know, doing anything like that I don't want to be seen on TV? Because I feel like that I would definitely be that way. And I was always like very aware when the camera was on me versus when it's not on me. And I feel like I have a hard time just like relaxing and completely letting my guard down if I'm being filmed on camera.
Yeah, completely. And especially now that I know how production works, I know how editing works, and I work in media, I think I kept trying to give the cameras the best portrayal I could of myself and didn't want to give them anything negative to work with because I wanted to have a good edit. And I was so caught up in my own head about that. And it was really hard for me to give confessionals because I was just dying to be on the other side. Like, I'm so much more comfortable asking the questions than answering. And this time it was just so apparent. Like, every time I did a confessional and went to do an interview, I was like, oh my gosh, I wish I was asking the questions. Like, I hate doing this.
Yeah.
And I think I was just more in my head because I was so focused on making sure they didn't have any negative stuff to work with. And then the producers kind of like pissed about that. They're like, Andrew, just like, let that go. So it was weird. I was really in my head that season.
It's hard. I think I would definitely struggle with that if I was, ever out there again. Another reason for me to not go back, Andrew.
Well, yeah. And also, you know, I work for people and I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to be spun in some way. But obviously that's out of my control.
Mm-hmm.
I just kept having to remind myself, Andrew, you don't have any control. Just live your life. Don't have a meltdown over a coconut. But I'm also a highly emotional person, and you just can't help it. Survivor makes you even more emotional, obviously, because you're starving.
Yeah. So I want to ask you about Ryan and what you think about him. Have you enjoyed Ryan Ehrlich so far this season?
Yeah, I like him. We didn't really see much of him on the Merge episode.
No, I think that was a good thing for him.
I think it was a good thing. Yeah, I guess I like him. I know people compare him to Cochran. I definitely see that. I got to
Andrea, trust me, I played with Cochran. he was a nerdy kid, okay? I like him, but he was a nerdy kid.
You are very proud of your Papa Bear impression. But
I don't get to
really
do it
good.
That often, Andrea.
That's true.
It's like until an outfit I only get to wear. Yeah.
No, you're very excellent at it. Yeah, I'm a fan. I didn't think he handled the Allie situation the best he could have. I feel like he should probably kept her in the game. Well, but then again, how was he going to take out JP if he was trying to get Chrissy's trust? I think what rubbed me a little bit the wrong way was when he said, well, he was like, Allie is like freaking out. It's just not a good look for her. Like, I didn't like that comment. But like, what, when I came back from Tribal Council.
Yeah, no, I remember. What rubbed you the wrong way about that?
I don't know. When you say it was just not a good look for her.
You don't like that expression, or you don't like, or you didn't like that he was thinking about it, like in terms of like that you felt like he was talking about in her edit, or you felt like that was for her game?
I don't know what he meant by it. I just didn't like that comment.
Wow.
Well, I think in general, I think that comment is so dismissive of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I mean, if you say it about yourself, like I say that about myself a lot, where I say, oh, that is not a good look for me. But to say it about someone else, it was like, look, she just got totally blindsided by you taking out Rourke.
Andrea, full disclosure, Stephen Fishbeck said that to me last night about when Ben was complaining about Cole eating too much. He's like, that's not a good look for him.
Not a good look for Ben?
Yes. So he used that expression also.
Yeah. And now I'm wondering if I've ever used it on someone else. I don't think I have. But I did. I don't know. I didn't like it.
Yeah. So
wait, what I lost my train of thought.
Ryan and how that the only thing you didn't like about him was that Allie said that's not a good look for her.
Yeah. That's all. That's my only complaint.
Yeah. So do you feel like that he is somebody that could you see him winning this season?
I could definitely see him winning this season.
Yeah.
He was obviously an early favorite, and he's a great character. He's really smart. I think now that everyone's targeting Chrissy, he can hide behind Chrissy, maybe.
Yeah.
And as long as people don't view him as a John Cochran type. But I think if he positions himself behind Chrissy and behind Devin, he's set up pretty well. And I think he also might have, they didn't really show this, but was he close with Lauren in the beginning? I feel like maybe there's a connection with him and Lauren as well.
Could potentially Chrissy be like the Dawn to his Cochran? Is that a pair that will be a good fit for Ryan? Like that turtleneck?
Yeah, that would be pretty crazy if it was Ryan and Chrissy, because it is a similar thing. And I feel like people would get very upset with Chrissy and be more bitter towards Chrissy. Unfortunately, I always hate that. Not that Chrissy, she's, you know, kind of in that older woman in that mm-hmm. category, even though she's not old. But, you know, you never see them go far. And if they do, then it's like a Dawn situation where everyone just lashes out and blames them and takes all their bitterness out on them. So
yes,
that could be something very interesting. I do think people will be pissed at Chrissy.
Yeah. Now, and you lived with Dawn, and Dawn was sort of her own thing. But I don't think it's necessarily fair to Chrissy to say that, you know, we have not seen her become weepy and emotional in terms of like having other people be her caretaker in any way this season. She has not really played that up in any way. So I don't want to say that she's like giving off a Dawn vibe.
Oh, no, not at all. They're completely different players. But what I'm saying is when people look at, like, a lot of people looked at Dawn as this mother type, which
yes,
she's a mother, and Chrissy's a mother, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, they're like a very caring mother, really sweet person, and you connect with them and you trust them because of that, because they're motherly.
Right.
And then when they, like, cut your throat, then you just can't believe that this mother type would do this to you.
Yeah.
So in that regard, I could see maybe something like that happen to Chrissy, just because she is like a welcoming motherly type.
Mm-hmm.
But Chrissy is like, she's really fierce.
Yeah.
Like she's not, I don't think we've seen her cry at all. I don't even know if she's capable of crying.
Yeah. I mean, she has not been emotional in that way at all. And I do think it's an interesting thing. And we talked about this a little bit last night with Suri and with Jessica Lewis on the panel where, you know, if you are potentially seen as that mom figure, like I do feel like it is pretty important to sort of just like nip that in the bud, like, and not let anybody even get the sense of like that. Because you played with Suri. I mean, was Suri like a mom to anybody out there?
No.
Yeah, I think it's and that's why I think that she's always seen as somebody who's a really dangerous opponent in the end of the game, because you can be an older woman, but once people start to feel like you're like the mom, they treat you differently. And it might not even be something that you're trying to manipulate out there, but it's hard for people to put those two things together. She's a mom, and then also she was cutthroat.
Yeah. Well, so you're right, though. Suri did a really good job of completely destroying that whole facade, because I never saw Suri as a mom type, even though sometimes she would order me to do things.
Yeah.
And I had no choice but to do them. And we would always roll our eyes. She would tell Sarah and I what to do. She'd be like, go get me that coconut.
Yes.
But that was different. That wasn't even a motherly thing. That was just a Suri thing. We're like, okay.
Well, she told us last night, I said that you were going to be on the show, and she said, oh, you're talking to Cinderella. Was that part of being Cinderella that she got to boss you around?
Wait, I don't even know how she came up with that name for me, but now that makes sense. It's all her evil plan.
Was that what?
She probably, now they think about it, I don't even know why. I'm not even sure what the origin of Cinderella came from. She thought I looked like Cinderella something.
You look like Cinderella. Okay.
Yeah. But Suri was just, she's so great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And she was really fantastic at the live show last night. And really, she was great with everybody that was there. I mean, you totally get why, you know, she does as well on the show as she does. But you've, you know, I feel like, Andrea, that you've had this really amazing Survivor career now. And it's been one of the very fun things to watch, because I really look at you as somebody who you played all three of your seasons in the time that we've been doing the podcast. And I remember when you first played your first season, and you know, and you were just you know, a really you know, young kid coming up. And it's been so fun to watch you in terms of your growth as a person and as a Survivor player. And I almost feel like that you're sort of this person that the young kids look up to now. And I feel like that you sort of have a little bit of like the Elizabeth Filarski, and I'm talking about from the Survivor thing. I'm not talking about anything. Also, you know, she's a host also that, you know, you're not as political as Elizabeth is.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
What was the question?
There's no question. It's an observation that it's been really fun to see your arc.
Well, thank you. It's kind of crazy when I think that I've pretty much grown up, at least in my 20s, on Survivor. And I actually have a video of me growing up just in different stages of my life at 21, 23, and then 28. Mm-hmm. So it's it's been fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's you and Malcolm. I think, and maybe I'm not sure if there's somebody else that I can think of, but the two people who have come up and played three times since we started the podcast, like it's been very fun to see this arc, and you've done so well all three of your times, and you're doing so great now. So I'm very proud of you, Andrea.
Even though you didn't think I was going to do well in Game Changers.
Yeah,
you didn't think that I should go back.
No, but I didn't. And again, we talked about how I'm wrong about everything. And I hope that you don't hold it against me because
no.
you're doing so many great things now. But I really thought that people would hold it against you, the whole thing from Karamoan, where you've turned on Francesca on the first vote. I thought that, fair or unfair, people were going to say, oh, well, I'm not going to be able to work with her. She voted out Francesca.
Yeah, I mean, definitely didn't help because it makes me seem like a heartless person.
And I don't even think that, and I'm not even saying that you were wrong to do that in any way, but I just felt like that was sort of, you were going to have, it was going to be hard to shake off that reputation. And you did so wonderfully. And I also felt like that you had so much going on with your career that's like, what do you need this aggravation for?
Very true. Well, I think what helped was there was a long time between Karamoan and Game Changers, or at least a lot longer than a lot of other people. So I guess Sierra Easton, she was so recent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people kind of forgot about me.
Yeah.
Or like kind of that stuff all just kind of faded away. So luckily that was working in my favor. And it's true. It's a lot of stress to go back and play. I mean, I don't know if we've talked about this. After Game Changers, I got really sick and I was in the hospital I was in the hospital with a kidney infection.
Oh no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, for about a week. I lost a lot more weight. My heart was in like a weakened state from the kidney infection. So my family flew out to New York because I didn't know what was going on. I thought it was something with my heart, and finally they figured it out. But it was like a week of intense, crazy pain, and it was unbelievable. So it was a lot, but obviously it was all worth it. And it's been really great, even just to like host this after show, and career wise, it was actually a good move. But you're right. Like, there was definitely a lot of questions going into it, if this was going to be good for me or not.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad it all worked out, and I'm glad you do not listen to dumb advice. But I just really want you to know it came from a good place.
Oh, for sure. And you made some really, really good points, for sure. Because
yes.
I think the big thing was, you now have this career that doesn't have to be like all about Survivor.
Right.
Why do you stay on that track? And that it still is a good point, though, because I'm still, even though I'm hosting,
you're able to be in both worlds. Yeah,
I'm able. And I do realize, though, a lot of my fan base is Survivor. So
yeah,
it's nice to kind of have to dip my toe back into that pool, for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I have a lot of questions for you, Andrea, from the listeners, from your many fans. The Woj wants to know, How does it feel to be the new Parvati in terms of people listing you as the Survivor contestant that they are most like? And with all due respect to Parvati, who we both love and admire greatly, it seems as though there's been a little bit of a changing of the guard in terms of, we would laugh on the podcast for years that everybody would put on their bio, who's the contestant that you want to be like? Oh, I'm Parvati. I'll play like Parvati. Now these contestants, they all come in. They say, I'm going to be like Andrea.
You say all these contestants. It was two people.
It seemed like it was more.
I think it was two people. I think it was Jessica and Allie. It was two. But, you know, someone, I had Parvati on our panel, and someone asked a question like that. Like, how do we feel that we're compared to each other? And it's so laughable to me because Parvati's actually won the game. She's a complete legend. So I don't think there's really any comparison. I think that's more so recency bias or something. But look, recency obviously bias. I'm flattered. I'm totally flattered, of course. But I don't think there's really any comparison.
Yeah. Well, I do think that you've been able to rebrand your sort of, like, I feel like that in terms of, like, when you played in Karamoan, that you were described as, oh, Andrea, that, oh, she's the flirt. And that was sort of like more like the Parvati lane that you were in. But then you sort of, like, after Game Changers came back, and it's like, oh, no, Andrea, she's the, you know, fierce challenge competitor. And so I think that you've been able to sort of like change the perception of you as well.
Oh, I like that. A rebrand.
I did an Andrew rebrand.
Yeah, well, I think I worked really hard. I think I went in thinking, okay, if anything, I'm going to not do the showman's thing. I'm not going to just be the flirty girl that gets in with the guys. And I'm going to actually work on, like, playing a better game. So I'm really glad that I had the opportunity to do that.
Okay. Felipe wants to know, is JP the new Eddie and things like that? Do you see any? They're both firefighters, right?
That's true. I feel like Eddie has a lot more charisma, right?
Well, I don't know.
Nothing against JP. We haven't seen him at all. But I think, I don't know. There's obviously a soft spot in my heart for Eddie. I don't think he's the new Eddie.
Okay. All right. I mean,
why are you so disappointed in that answer?
I don't know. I feel like that, I feel like that Eddie ended up being more beloved, but I don't know if, like, during the season, people really loved Eddie. As somebody, and I have to really, like, you know, rack my brain to try to remember what we were talking about during the podcasts, but I don't feel like the people loved Eddie, and then he did the dog bar thing at the end of the season, and then everybody flipped on Eddie. It was like, Eddie is the greatest guy ever. We love Eddie. And then his legend has only grown, and he's not on social media, like, saying stupid stuff.
All.
Right. And so people are like,
wait,
oh,
is JP on social media saying stupid stuff? Or you just
mean that, like, if he was, like, on Twitter, like, every 5 seconds talking about what he was doing, people would get sick of him. But I do think that there is a degree of absence makes the heart go grow fonder. And so I think that people, like, if you polled, like, the average, like, ask people at the next fan forum before you start, like, how many people would want to see Eddie come back and play again? I bet a bunch of people would be like, oh, yes. But
yeah,
during the
right,
season,
yeah,
nobody would say that.
Yeah, no, you're right. He got really popular at the end. I think it was the dog bar moment for sure. Well, and Eddie, you're right, though. There's something about staying away from social media and bragging about how cool you are that makes people want you more, because Eddie is super elusive. Like, I've been trying to, I mean, obviously I'm, like, thinking about my panel sometimes. I'm like, oh, Eddie would be so good to have, but, like, he probably wouldn't.
And that's why. And that's if he goes out there and is on the panel, he'll shatter the illusion. Everybody will say, no, we don't want him to come back. So
that's really true.
Yes. It's really like these people, like, especially like a lot of the celebrities, that they don't do a lot of interviews. People think that, oh, they're really smart and really deep. It's just all they're doing is not talking. That's really what they need to do.
Wow. Eddie has it all figured out.
Yeah. 280 characters is really going to shatter the illusion on a lot of the other people too.
Oh my gosh, I hate that.
It's too many.
It's terrible. It's really bad.
Yeah. I have to start printing out all of the tweets that I can't even get to on my phone. It's terrible.
Well, and it's, yeah, I'm not a fan.
Not a fan. Okay. So Justin Feinberg wants to know, why did you tickle Ceri after she voted you out?
Oh, I think that was a thing I did in the season a lot, is I would tickle her. But I had this this is so dumb, but I remember thinking, if Ceree ever blindsides me, but I actually didn't think it was going to happen, especially not that vote. My plan was to say, because we had a joke that I was going to date her son, because when her son came to the island and we won the family reward, and then we chose Ceree to join us, Jared thought that I was hot. So he asked his mom about me. Well, asked Ceree about me. And so Ceree was so pissed about that, because I kept saying, I'm going to date your son. I'm going to date your son. You're going to be my mother-in-law. So my plan was, if I was ever voted out by Ceree, was to threaten her and say that I was going to go find her son and marry him. That was going to be my goodbye to her.
Yeah.
But in the moment, I was so shocked that I was voted out. All I could do was tickle her.
Yeah. And I saw Jared and HB were with Ceree last night.
I know. Jared couldn't get into the bar. Yeah. So I had to leave early.
Yeah. You guys are not dating yet. That was another question that was asked to us. That has not happened yet.
Oh, that was a question that was asked?
Yes. Are you dating Jared yet?
That's so funny. I actually don't know if he is single or not anymore.
Okay.
He was at the time. I mean, he's only, 18? No, I'm not dating him.
Okay. So his relation status was not the only thing holding this up.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was all a joke. And I like Ceree, but I do not want to be her daughter-in-law.
Yeah. That could be a lot of, there could be a lot of mind games.
You're right. Tons of mind games.
Because the daughter-in-law, mother-in-law relationship can be stressful.
Yeah. It would definitely stress me out. And she's always joked that she would make me, I would have to take her shopping. And I think I like my relationship with Ceree the way it is.
Okay. That's good. Okay. Edmo wants to know, what guest that you've had on your show has been the most fun?
On Fan Forum. Oh, wow. Well, John Cochran came in and it was a last minute thing. He got off a flight and was able to make it last minute. And he was really fun. Like, you've done podcasts with Cochran.
Yes.
He's just so hilarious and self-deprecating. And like everything he would say, the crowd just ate it up. He was really funny. And I remember one moment where it was when it was a preview of Cole passing out. And I was like, what do you guys think is going to happen to Cole? Like, that was kind of a crazy preview. And Cochran just says, I think he dies. And it was just like so funny. So Cochran was probably my favorite guest. But we had Zeke, we had Parvati. Courtney's amazing. She's hilarious. We have some fun people coming up. Jay's going to come next week, and Trish. And
which Jay?
Jay from Millennials.
Oh, the good one. Yes.
What's the other one?
We don't need to worry about that, Andrea.
Wait, why am I blanking? Who's the other Jay?
That's exactly right.
No, tell me. Wait, who's the other Jay? Why am I not knowing this?
I think that's the only important one.
No, Rob. The other Jay.
Kelly Priest wants to know, Andrea, how do you keep it from getting too awkward on the show with all of these celebrities that might not know Survivor as well and can't keep up with the conversation? Great job on the show, by the way.
Oh, thank you. It's real difficult because what happens is I do some of the booking. Like, obviously, if I know Survivor people are in town, I'll put them in touch with our bookers. But they'll book these people, and then the reps will be like, oh, yeah, they're a big Survivor fan. And then they'll show up, and I'll ask them a few questions. Like, oh, are you watching this season? They're like, oh, I haven't gotten around to it. I'm like, oh, but, like, you've watched in the past. And be like, oh, I think that one season it was was it Richard that won? I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
But like, look, this is what I do for a living. So I just know, like, I'm never going to put a guest in a position where they're going to have to answer something that they're not going to know how to answer it, So I just have to navigate it well. But yeah, it can be a little tricky sometimes.
Yes. Andrea, I know you've also had Sean T on the panel before, and I do the Beachbody videos. I know that you are in some of these Sean T videos.
I am. Sean T is a huge Survivor fan. So when he came in the first time I interviewed him for People Now, he recognized me, and then we became friends. I had him on the panel a couple times, and then he asked me to be in his last workout series called Sean Week. Oh my goodness. That was so intense.
The appropriately Survivor titled Day 7 Dig Deep I saw you on.
I know. I'm on that one. I'm on the abs one.
Those are too hard for me. I don't mess around with those.
It was really hard, but you actually, it was really cool to be as part of that process. We filmed it at the Beachbody Studios in LA, and you film it in one shot. You basically just do the workout, but when you're there with
him, I can't even do the workout in one shot.
It's, I mean, I train, like I was doing the video for a while, like weeks before, but it was so intense.
Yeah. It's a lot.
He's actually, yeah, I love Shanti. I just saw him recently. He's having twins.
Whoa.
Via surrogate. Yeah. So he's got a lot going on.
Well, that's a good interview to get into with that situation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. this is from Matthew, who wants to know, when would be the right time for the Heroes to turn on their alliance with the Hustlers?
Well, let's see. I would say...
Now, there's four Heroes. There's three Hustlers.
I mean, it depends. Like, obviously, they're going to want to pick off some of the healers first. So then for... Okay, so for the Heroes, you've been Chrissy, JP, Ashley. I guess it depends if they want to even stick together. Because Ashley and Devin seem kind of close. And, you know, Chrissy and Ryan seem close. So if Heroes are going to stick together, I mean, I guess... Wait until you pick off a few of the healers.
Yeah.
Maybe pull one over, you know, if that's the plan to stick together. But I don't really see Heroes necessarily sticking together against Hustlers.
Yeah. You think things will get more and more mixed up?
I think Ryan and Chrissy seem like they're pretty close. And then Ashley and
what about
Devin
Ben and Chrissy?
Well, Ben and Chrissy as well. But maybe that will be, that could be a little threesome there, you know?
But we didn't see anything with Ryan and Ben.
But we didn't see a lot of Ryan last episode in general.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be stuff we're not seeing.
Okay. Then this is a question from Andrew. What's the most exciting thing about covering Survivor every week on the fan forum?
Let's see. The most exciting thing. I guess having the guests on is really fun. Mm-hmm. Just having past players on is a lot of fun, and getting to talk about, because I haven't really done much coverage. I mean, I did. I just remembered I did a blog for Johnny Fairplay after Redemption Island.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I think that's about as extensive as my coverage has been in the past.
You came up. You were 21 years old. You didn't know what you were doing. You made a blog for Johnny Fairplay, and then you got smarter and stopped taking bad advice from people like me. And now look at you.
Yeah, but I think having the panelists on. Oh, actually, wait. The panelists are great, but having the live audience is really cool, because the people that keep coming each week,
yes,
or even the new people, they're so great and like lovely and excited to be there. And then we do a meet and greet afterwards. And it's just really awesome to have these people get to meet their idols. Like when people met Suri for our premiere episode, they like freaked out. And that makes me so happy. Because it's also like intimate. We only can fit like 50 people in that audience.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you get to like get one-on-one time, usually right after the show, like meeting all the panelists.
Okay. Evan wants to know, do you have a dream guest for the Survivor Fan Forum?
Oh, I do. Rob Cesternino, duh.
The challenge is, and I would love to do it, is that we do the know-it-alls right after the episode. So we're on at the same time slot, but I don't ever feel competitive with it, because even though it's on at the same time, first off, I feel like that nobody says I can only watch one that I would bet there's a huge crossover from people that watch both. But I don't care if people watch the live show or not, because I feel like that if people want to watch the fan forum and then listen to the podcast the next day when they're going to work, again, it doesn't matter to me either way. We just record the show at the same exact time.
Yeah, no, I always felt like there wasn't any weird feelings about that. Sometimes I've had people say stuff. They're like, oh, well, you're a direct competition to know-it-all. So I'm like, okay, you guys take in so much Survivor coverage. You definitely can like watch one and like listen to the other, or like vice versa. Like, I don't care.
Yeah. But for me, it's really that a small portion of the audience watches Steven and I do the show live. And most of the people listen to the podcast at some point the next day or down the road. So for me, it's just, we just happen to record the show at the same time.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Okay.
Look at us. We're all on the same page.
We're on the same page. And
my dream guest. So, well, yeah, obviously. If it
besides
out,
me.
I would love to have you. But there's this other Rob that I know.
Oh, Boston Rob.
Yeah.
Boston. But you, that's weird. So Boston Rob, I guess he's just not in New York. So that.
Well, a little birdie told me that he was possibly in New York. So I texted him recently and it was like upstate or something, but he's going to be back working, doing some job, I think maybe in like Brooklyn or something early December. So I'm trying really hard to hopefully get him, because that would be kind of ridiculous.
He's a great guest. He's one of these people, you know, and Suri is the same way, where they just like, no matter what happens in the episode, there's like something that happens similar to them because they have all this survivor experience. And you're in that category also of being able to, you know, you've probably seen it before. So he would be great on the show. What you should do, see if you could book Grant on the panel also that night.
Oh my gosh.
It has an Ometepe reunion.
Oh my goodness. Hey. Just don't tell them.
Andrea, smarten up. Smarten up with that Ometepe reunion.
I thought about like if Philip was ever in town, but I think he would talk too much.
No, you know what? Full disclosure here, I'm being completely real. That I listened to an interview that Philip did recently, and I thought Philip really came across well. I think he would be very good.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I like Philip. We haven't talked in a while. Sometimes I get nervous if there's someone that tends to go on long rants, because that's just hard for me as a host to reel it
right in,
because you got to like keep it going. But yeah, I mean, obviously I would love to have other people I played with, but Boston Rob would be really great.
He'd be number one.
So I'm working
one.
On it. So I'm working
yeah.
on it.
Yeah. He would be very good. Yeah. I think it's also hard. I think that like the format of that show is that, you know, it's pretty fast paced. And if somebody starts to go into like actually on my season,
no,
there was
I know.
Like,
that's where I get like real, like, oh no, here we go.
It's tough. It's tough. Like we can edit that stuff down, but yeah, it's tough when you're live with that. Jim Rosario, I know, another regular at the Fan Forum.
Yeah.
Are you more comfortable hosting your show this season now that you don't have to censor yourself?
Oh, for sure. Because on Game Changers, I couldn't even express that I really liked Suri or I liked Aubrey. I couldn't say anything about any of the players because it would give things away. It was all just asking the panel and then being like, well, I guess we'll have to see. So if for at least for this season, because I'm not spoiled at all, which is so great,
mm-hmm.
I can actually make predictions and talk about the players and like say what I, you know, who I like and everything. And I don't have to worry about any sort of spoilers. It's so nice not being spoiled.
Yes, it's great. It's fantastic. So can I also say that I don't know if I told you this. I really loved it. I watched, I think it was like one of the first, it was like the first or second episode of Game Changers. And when Paulie Calafiore was in the audience and asked the question, he's like, what I would like to know is this question is about Deb. It's
like, oh, you're like my girl, Debbie.
My girl, Debbie.
Like, wait, what? He also was so dumb. I told him, like, okay, you guys. So Zeke was there that episode that we did, that Polly was there, and we sat him way in the back so no one would, so he wouldn't be on camera, so CBS wouldn't be pissed. And Polly gets up and like live says, you know, and got a shout out to my guy Zeke in the back, and we're like, come on. That was the one thing I told you not to say.
My girl Deb, and also big shout out to Zeke.
The guy we're hiding in the back, so CBS doesn't see that he's here.
He's hiding in the back, but I wanted to still shout him out. Also, I like Outback Steakhouse.
Well, it's also kind of funny. So he came to the episode that Sean T did his first time, and those two met.
Yeah, and then he's like, on a Sean T video, right?
Yeah, we're in the same workout series, not the same videos. But now Paulie and Sean T are like best friends, and I introduce them, and I'm like, wait a second, why are you guys like best friends now?
All right.
A little jealous.
Boyan wants to know, what's the funniest memory you have from Game Changers that wasn't on the show?
The funniest memory from Game Changers that wasn't on the show. Let's see. Well, so like I said, it was kind of, remember when I had that meltdown over the coconut? Like at the time, it wasn't funny when I had those meltdowns, but looking back, it's my favorite thing.
Was because that a fun season, Game Changers?
No, it was not.
It was not fun.
It was not a fun season. It was obviously a very dark season. There were just so many things. Obviously, the big Zeke thing was really dark and kind of tainted the whole season. And then there were just, it was a lot of negative energy. It wasn't fun. Like Kara Moen, we had Malcolm and Eddie and Reynolds, even though we were targeting them and they were targeting us, it was a fun group. Game Changers was just really dark.
Yeah.
So, and I was out there, you know, Aubrey, I got really close with, and I kept saying, man, I'm not having fun. I'm trying to, but it was just really hard. But one thing that happened, I guess it was, what did he say? The funniest moment?
He wanted to know the funniest moment, but if you have something that's more fun than funny, we'll take it.
No, this is like probably, I guess that's not really that funny. I guess one thing that did happen that was like kind of funny to Aubrey and I is we won this challenge. It was a group reward challenge. We went on this reward on this seaplane. So it was Brad, Debbie, and Sierra, and then who were in the Majority Alliance, and me and Aubrey were on the bottom at that point. I was pretty sure I was going home next. So we go on this reward, and I was trying to have fun. I'm on a seaplane in Fiji. Like, why can't I have fun? But I was just miserable. And Aubrey and I kept looking at each other, just like hating our lives. And then we go and have this picnic with, you know, Debbie and Brad and Sierra. And then we steal some, well, I think they actually let us take it back, but we got to take some wine. Yeah, it was wine back. So how did this work? I'm trying to think. I got to remember like what happened. Oh, I know. So I had a bottle of wine on the seaplane, and Aubrey had her canteen had a bunch of water in it. And all of a sudden, because we were drunk, because I drank so much wine because I was so pissed at being on the bottom. So I got really, really drunk. So drunk. So I was so mad. And so I'm coming back. We're coming back to camp and I'm really drunk. I'm like, Aubrey, because we were trying to bring the wine back to everyone else, at least the people that were on the bottom with us. And I was like, Aubrey, we still have this bottle of wine. We got to put it in your canteen. So she chugs her canteen of water. She chugs it so fast. And then we pour the wine into the canteen so we can take it back to camp with us. But because she chugged the water so fast, she started throwing up in the little whatever, the throw up bag or whatever it's called
in the plane. Oh no.
Yeah, so she's chugged the water so fast, then she was throwing up all of the water into the plane. It was all just to get this freaking wine into her canteen. And then we took the canteen of wine back to the camp. Zeke and I at that point hated each other, but it was kind of an olive branch, like, here, you can have some wine that's in this canteen. And then we had a good laugh because we were both drunk.
Yeah. How long did it take for you guys to get back to normal? I'm assuming that everything between the two of you is fine now, but how long did that healing process take?
Well, when I got to Ponderosa and he was there, he immediately welcomed me with a drink. We talked about it. It was still really awkward with us a little bit, because I still didn't understand why he turned on me, and his reasoning was really, didn't really make sense to me. It was because I wasn't there for him. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, of course I was there for you. I guess I just didn't express that enough. I guess I didn't pull him aside and say, hey, buddy, like, screw the game. Like, are you okay? Obviously, I felt like I was doing that, but I must not have been doing it enough. So I don't know. I guess it was really hard for me because I loved Zeke so much. I still love Zeke, obviously, but I was like, it was just confusing that was his reasoning for turning, that I didn't pull him aside and say, are you okay? I just thought that if he wasn't okay, he was gonna let me know, because we were like tight. So I don't know. It got a little weird, but then Ponderosa, I think things were smoothed over, and now, I mean, we're great.
Yeah. Now it's like nothing happened.
Exactly.
Okay. Aubra wants to know, is a young female in the Minority Alliance the new typical merge boot? Do you make anything of this? Is this a trend that we have a bunch of women that have been the merge boot, or is this just a coincidence?
That's interesting. Well, I think that it seems like when people are worried about idols, they'll look at a young female like a Haley or a Jessica and think, okay, well, they might not have an idol. And so I don't know if that says something about females getting idols, which I read something interesting. Someone made a point. There are so many more males that have found idols on Survivor than females.
Yes.
And I'm curious. I don't know where I read that, but I just found it so fascinating. And then someone else brought up a really good point that females are usually females, right? I always say females and males. Women are usually more social and they play a more social game. So they're not going to be, you know, running around the woods like a Ty would, or, you know, someone that's always looking for idols like a Tony or a Joe. So I just found that was very, very interesting. What do you make of that?
The why do men find more idols than women?
Yeah. Is it because that being in the past, especially a lot of like usually the men were better casted or?
Well, it's interesting. And I think it's definitely a complicated issue. But I think that there's also that, you know, we have where certainly that there are men who, you know, they go out and they look for an idol and then people say, oh, they're looking for idols. They're scheming. We saw Patrick this season. Obviously, Steven got labeled with that in Second Chances. But when you guys were on Ometepe, that you had a person like a Christina who was out there looking for idols, and then she got branded with that. And then even like in South Pacific, somebody like, oh, Christine was, oh, she was. So I think it's also really hard for women to come back from the, oh, she's looking for an idol. And I think that a lot of times that's sort of the kiss of death for women before the merge, if they get that. Like, I feel like that some men are able to bounce back from it, but when a woman gets it, it's almost like a really good reason to get rid of her.
That's true. I mean, Ty was always looking for idols and we didn't do anything about it. We just let him go do it.
Yeah. Oh, crazy and, Ty. He's looking for idols.
Yeah. I don't know how he got away with that. Like, oh, there's Ty again. I don't know. I thought that was a really interesting conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess maybe we'll see a trend in now, you know, going for the younger female, especially with Jess leaving.
Well, I do think that part of it also then at the merge is I think that you have a big group of people of, you know, you have like people that are voting together for the first time and you have a big group. And I think you sort of want an easy vote that's going to be a slam dunk. And you say, okay, well, who's an easy target rather than going after sort of like a big target right at the merge where that might be complicated. And I think you start to think about like who's least likely to have an idol, and I think that that's and really and that last season that's where the idol strip search was born, with Haley said like, hey, well, like, you know, if somebody asks me, I'll strip to prove I don't have an idol, and then there was no Alan Ball there to enforce it.
Yeah. No, exactly. I think people are so worried about idols, especially right when you get to the merge. So then it's an easier thing.
Okay.
So then it just makes me think that us girls got to pick up the slack and get more idols.
Get more idols.
Because I want whatever. I mean, I don't know. Whenever like a guy finds an idol, I'm like, ah, like we got to. Girls got to get those idols.
That's a really good point. I feel like that it's definitely true. I'm not sure what the total number is of idols found by men to women, but I would guess
it's ridiculous. I wish I had the numbers.
It's probably like at least like 22-8 or something like that.
Yeah, it is something like that. I wish I had the actual numbers, but I just found it really fascinating. But I did think there was a good point. Like, someone like, if you look at the really social females, like they're just not going to be going out looking for idols because they want to make sure they're in camp and like keeping an eye on everything. Like, mm-hmm. Because females are usually a little more social, and I think when it comes to strategy, I don't know. But
okay. Andrea, I don't think I got to talk to you about this at the end of last season, but that they changed the final tribal council format. You've been to 3 final tribal councils as a juror. You've also voted for the winner in each of your season 3 times. And I think that you are, I'm not sure if you have that record alone or if you're tied for the record with that, according to the Survivor Wiki. Did you like that? Did you like that final tribal council format?
I did. I don't know how it came across for viewers, but I thought it was you got everything you wanted to ask or talk about off your chest. So I have to say I was so weirdly bitter at Game Changers that final tribal council is super cringeworthy for me. I was like crying. Like, what was wrong with me? But I think that
you were bitter
really
with Officer Sarah.
Well, I just really didn't like the final 3 at all. Mm-hmm. And I think I took a lot of, and also too, when you play 3 times, like for my, you know, my second season, I was like, oh wow, I came back. I did, you know, I felt like I proved myself a little more and it was a great second edit. But like your third time playing, it's like, okay, either win or like, what are you doing? You know? So I put a lot more pressure on myself. So I think I took all my frustrations out on the final 3, and that happened to be Sarah, even though I did vote for her. And also, she did. There was a lot of things that she did that were real shady. But point is, I did think that I liked the format because everyone got to say more, ask more than just one question to each person. When you go up, do your speech and come down. You left feeling like you got everything out there that you wanted to get out.
When you say that Officer Sarah did something that was shady, do you feel like she was like in a good way in terms of the game? Or you feel like that she did things that you actually did not care for?
Well, no, I mean, I'm pretty sure this has come out, especially in exit interviews when you interview the Game Changers cast. But, you know, like she was swearing on her kid and I don't know. I guess that's something
you're like that.
Yeah, you're on Survivor. I understand people swear on family members. But I just remember the way that she didn't, it's not like I even asked her like, hey, can you swear on your child and then I'll trust you. It was like she would like offer that up. And because I felt so close with her, I did. I mean, everyone did. Everyone thought Sarah was their best friend. It was crazy. Like, yeah. She's so brilliant. It's really scary. So, you know, but then when she swore on her child and all we would do would talk about like family and her kid. And like, I was going to visit her in Iowa. It just sounds so silly now, but I like really like thought of her as like a sister figure. And then when she was swearing on her kid, I was like, well, she wouldn't do that. I mean, she didn't have to. I didn't ask her to. So that just is like even more reason to realize like, oh, this is legit. And she was doing that to every single person. And look, Survivor, we all know that you're going to lie and you should be prepared for people to swear on anyone. But I just remember all my frustrations about getting voted out and blindsided again. And then just being like, I don't know why she had to take it that far. Mm-hmm. And then there's like other things she did where she would talk about like your family members and be like, oh, they're going to be so proud of you. And there's like other things I think you'd have to ask like someone else about. Like it was like Aubrey or something. I can't remember exactly the details. I don't want to like say something that wasn't accurate, but there was just things like that. Now looking back, yeah, it was a game. She did what she had to do, and props to her because she played a really, really impressive game and she is a dangerous player. And I'm very happy that she won. But at the time, I was just so like bitter and had just a weird taste in my mouth about the whole thing.
Yeah. And I would say in fairness to Sarah, you know, that's what Tony did. Tony would do those things and he came away as the winner of her first season. And she had a front row seat for that's, you know, that's one way to go about playing the game. Is that something that Rob ever did in Redemption Island?
I don't remember him swearing on his family.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember that. But look, that's the thing is now looking back, I don't care. Yeah, she tricked us. She swore on her kid to every single person. We're the idiots that never. Actually, we did compare stories at one point and we still didn't do anything about it. There was a moment where Aubrey and I were talking to, I think, Sari or Michaela or someone. But we both were like, hey, is she swearing on her kid to you? And we're like, yeah, yeah. Oh, you too? Okay, yeah. But we still didn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
We still were like, okay, we'll just like, because we weren't threatened by her because her first season, she was just a non-factor. So she has such the, you know, we're just kind of like, oh, it's fine. Like, whatever, we'll deal with this later. And by the time we were onto it, it was too late. So I'm like, now looking back, I don't care that she swore on her kid. Like, that's what she needed to do. It's Survivor. We know anything goes, you know?
Yeah.
So, but at the time, I took it very hard and I was like really emotional about it. So watching, oh my gosh, it's just really cringeworthy.
It's hard. That's really like the really not fun part of Survivor. And you know, I have kids now. I didn't have kids when I played Survivor, but I can't say for a fact I wouldn't swear on my kids on Survivor and break that. You know, I don't think I would, but it, you know, that you're not yourself the entire time. And who knows?
Yeah. And also you're lying about everything else. So what's one, you know, I can't lie to someone's face. And just because I didn't swear on someone means that that's okay.
Yeah.
So I think it was more my frustrations about myself not catching on to Sarah that I just took on her and made it seem like, I can't believe you would swear on a kid, blah, blah, blah. So I kind of regret my emotional reaction, but that's just how I felt at the time. And you can't really fault yourself or your emotions.
It's yeah.
Just, no, can't control that.
You know, I get both sides of that.
Yeah.
So, Andrea,
I don't even know what the original question was. Oh, the format. Yeah.
Yeah, the format. You were bitter, but you liked it.
Yeah.
And did it help you work out some of your bitterness, the way that that format was set up?
You know, it actually did, because I came in and I was just like a firestorm, and I was really laying it into her. And Jeff loved it. Like, he would come back to me so many times because I was clearly having such a big emotional reaction. But by the end of it, because she answered my questions so well and she really owned up to it. And by the end of it, I was really proud of her, and I felt good voting for her. Okay. Where if it was the normal format, I'm not sure I would have. So I think it did help me work through everything. It was almost like this big therapy session.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's why Jeff likes it.
Yeah.
Now, Andrea, also, according to the Survivor Wiki, you hold the record now for the most votes cast against a survivor. Do you have a guess? Do you know the answer to this? How many votes have been cast against you to vote Andrea out of the game?
Oh, I have no idea.
How many times have people written your name down to vote you out of Survivor?
I honestly can't even guess. Let me think. Is it like in the 40s?
It's not in the 40s.
30s.
In the 30s, yeah.
Okay, 33.
No, higher.
38.
Lower.
35.
Higher.
Oh my gosh, 36.
Yes.
36
votes
against
me. You had
more
votes cast against you than there's seasons of Survivor.
Wow. Well, not for long.
Not for long. Now, are you done officially? Have you retired?
No, I don't think so.
You think you'll play again?
I think so. Well, Rob, because this is the thing. After my second season, I actually thought, I'm done. And then it wasn't that I didn't want to play again. It was just that once I finish a season, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. I don't really dwell on it. I move on. I have a lot of stuff going on. So I just kind of put it away. It's also, it's kind of painful to go back and relive those moments,
right?
Thinking, oh, if I just would have had that one conversation with Sari and told her about Sarah, that would have just played the idol. And it's just not healthy. So I am very proud of myself that I'm able to compartmentalize and like put it away. It was a great experience. Bye. And then move on to like my career stuff. But when they asked me for Game Changers, yeah, I eventually agreed to do it. And then when I got back, and then once I watch the season, I don't know. I just think, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Even if you're voted out early, you get this amazing experience and you get to meet new people and there's new opportunities.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not sitting here like waiting for a call. Trust me. And nor do I think that I should get a call. And I definitely don't. Yeah, I'm not banking on it. And I'm a little like kind of like indifferent right now because I'm so fresh off of Game Changers. But I definitely would not say it's a complete no.
Yeah. Well, I won't tell you not to go. I won't try to talk you out of it because I do think that like that, but I think that that it's almost changed from where I thought like, oh, I think people are going to try to come after you and vote you out because of Caramone. Now I kind of think that people are going to say, oh boy, Andrea will win if we don't get rid of her.
And I don't think I can get any farther than I've gotten. Like,
now,
I think
you're
I'm
like
just
Malcolm now. Yeah.
I'm just progressively going to get worse. So if I
right.
play again, I'd have to go in being like, Andrea, you could be voted out really, really
early. You need
early.
To do bad once. Like, I think that Malcolm's in a good spot now where he did bad this time around. And now I think that he's like ready to like come back and be like, oh, he's early boot, Malcolm. We don't have to worry about him. I almost feel like you need to lose early and then come back and then you can win.
Yeah.
Five times,
well,
Andrea.
It's hard too because I've always made the merge, even in Survivor Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So I think it would be really hard on my ego.
Does that count as a win for is that on your resume?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have won a season of Survivor and I found two idols.
Yeah.
I was so good.
And there's
Survivor
a lot more
Brooklyn.
Men on Survivor Brooklyn.
Yeah. No, I killed Survivor Brooklyn. And I even blindsided Sophie. Like, I feel so good about my performance in Survivor Brooklyn.
Is that your best season?
Yeah, for sure. I won. I won and found two idols. It was so great.
Yes. Yeah. Well, but I would, Andrew, I will never try to convince you ever again not to play. And you know, I felt really terrible when the season played out and you had the family visit and you talked about how when you play Survivor, you feel so close to your sister that you lost. And when your mom came out there, I felt like, oh my God, you stupid idiot. Like, why that? Because I hadn't known about any of that. And I felt so dumb that it was something that that made you feel closer to her. And I was so, I feel terrible about that, Andrea.
Oh, don't feel bad. No, but that is actually a big reason that I did end up playing Game Changers, is that my family was so distraught that I wasn't going to play again. Because they really, Lynn was talking.
Now I want you to play 10 times.
They were so distraught. They're like, cannot believe you wouldn't play again. I mean, like my dad, who never calls me, not that we love each other, it's just that he's like this farm dude that doesn't really use the phone, and he called me, he was like, Andrew, you gotta play again. I'm like, I know, but like, what if, I don't know, what if I get a bad edit, or it's just a lot, it's a lot of stress, like, I don't know, whatever. But then my mom got to come out there, and like, they love the season. Mm-hmm. They love the game so much. It's almost like I love doing it for my family. And yeah. Like right now too, not to get like super into like my personal life or anything, but like things aren't like the best. Like sometimes my family, and it's the one thing that like really brings them joy. It's so crazy. But like when the season was airing last spring, you know, like the whole community comes together and my like whole family gets closer. It's like a crazy thing that a show can do that. And you see that happen with a lot of other contestants, where it's like becomes like a family tradition that actually brings your family closer, which I think is really great.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that everybody is thrilled that you're still involved with the show. Make sure you check out Andrea on the People TV fan forum /survivor with Andrea Belke. Did I get it all right?
Yeah, that's great.
Is there a colon in there, or I just put that in there?
I think you put that in there.
Yeah.
Well, it gets confusing because it's like the hashtag Survivor Fan Forum, but it's Fan Forum Survivor. It's, yeah.
Okay, we're talking about hashtags. What is the hashtag?
I have faith that you guys can figure it out.
What's the hashtag for this podcast, though?
Oh, you can't put me on the spot and have to do a hashtag on the spot.
I could do whatever I want on my show.
That's so stressful. That's so mean.
No,
Let's do hashtag Papa Bear, because
you know, hashtag sparkle.
Yes, hashtag Papa Bear sparkle.
No, but he says it so, like sparkle. Sparkle.
How did
Spock, like the guy from Star Trek, L-E. How did they make it sparkle? It was Spock. It was sparkling the whole time.
All right, that's the hashtag.
Okay. All right, Andrea. Well, thank you so much. This was really, I think that maybe this is my new favorite interview that we've done.
Wow.
We've done a lot.
Even better than the Miss Survivor competition
when you rapped or when you did the worm.
Oh, which did you like better?
See, I feel like even Miss Survivor was like that. You went to the end, you were right there, and then you had to come back and then win it. Everything for you is ultimately that you keep climbing that mountain, Andrea.
Yeah, but I'm still waiting for Miss Survivor All-Stars.
Yeah, and you're one of the few people that say Miss Survivor should come back.
Wait, no, I'm not. People say that all the time.
No, I hear from people, don't ever bring it back.
Everyone says it. Everyone says it needs to come back.
Yeah.
Well, I got in before the internet got nasty, though.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think when I was when I competed,
yeah.
Back when I competed for Miss Survivor, I think that, was Instagram even a thing? It was like just kind of starting out, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But that was before people got real mean.
And yes, then, it was a different time.
It's different times. You're right. Like I think it would be really intense to compete right now with how the fans are.
I don't know. We'll see. Obviously, you should do it on the People Fan Forum. I'll give it to you.
I'm not gonna run that.
It's your problem now. Okay. And Andrea, and you were a deer for Halloween?
Yes. I was a deer.
Yeah, why?
Why
a deer?
I don't know. Well, we have a bunch of really good makeup artists, and I think I was just talking with one of the makeup artists who I'm now really close with, and she was telling me things she's done in the past, and she does a really good deer.
Okay.
So I just thought it'd be great. She made a really cool antler set, even though it was confusing because whatever. Like, female deers don't normally have antlers, but I don't see genders. Like,
yeah, don't get caught in the weeds on the female deer, okay, everybody? All right. Andrea, thank you so much. Be sure to check out everything Andrea is doing. How do people watch the daily People stuff that you do?
So that streams live on People's Facebook page. So you can just watch it at 8:30 a.m. Also, it's on People.com at 8:30 and 11:30 a.m. And then, yeah, so you can watch that there. And then, yeah, the People TV stuff's on the People TV app. Also, this is, I think, maybe the easiest way. When we go live for Fan Forum, someone retweets the Periscope on my account. So you can just watch the Periscope. That's like maybe the easiest way to find it.
Okay. Andrea, congratulations on everything you're doing. This was so nice to get to catch up. I know you got to go to bed soon. And it's
like
only
right
like and it's 7 o'clock at night. But I know you get up early. Again, thank you so much for coming to the after party for the Nodals. I know everybody is so excited to see you.
Oh my gosh. I wish I could have stayed a lot longer. Gone are the days where I can accept all the shots from your fans and get drunk.
Yeah.
Sober.
Okay.
It's a good look for me.
Yeah, you save that for the merge feast. Okay. All right, Andrea, you take care, okay?
All right, bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Andrea Belke back on the podcast. Well, Andrea did a great job here with me this afternoon. And really, she was out late last night working and then up early at her day job. So I really appreciate her making some time for us here today on the podcast. So I am just about ready to wrap things up here in New York after another trip out here for the Know-It-Alls, but it is only going to be a couple of weeks back home before I am on the road again for Know-It-Alls Austin coming up. Myself and Stephen Fishback are going to be there, and I am trying to build a pretty stellar Survivor panel for you guys out in Austin. If you want to be there with us in person, part of the fun, check out our website for tickets. Go to robhasawebsite.com/KIA Austin for ticket information, or click on the events tab at the top of robhaswebsite.com to be part of the fun in Austin, Texas, coming up on December 6th as we get close to the end of the Survivor season. And be sure to check out the YouTube video as well of our live event. I'm going to be getting ready for the voicemails coming up on the weekend with Antonio Mazzaro. Get your voicemail questions into us, 323-282-RHAP, or you can send them into robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for getting the podcast out to you guys this week while I'm away. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.